Before I get involved in the more of the lesson, I want to just take a little aside here for a second. I'm going to tie it in. How many remember the miracle of the 5,000 being fed? How many remember? Remember that story? Feeding 5,000? And one day Jesus was preaching Sermon on the Mount. And 5,000, it says 5,000 men. So probably more than that. But we'll say 5,000. And the disciples said to Jesus, look at all these people. They're going to be hungry. How are we going to feed them? Jesus, how are we going to feed them? And what did Jesus say? You feed them. That's what he said. You feed them. And so they searched around and they found what? Does anybody remember the story? A little boy. A little boy had his what? His lunch. And his lunch consisted of what? Christina says 5 loaves, 2 fishes. How about he had some lunch?
Not enough for 5,000.
And Jesus clearly took that lunch of the little boy. And he did his miraculous sign. And he fed how many?
5,000.
Probably more, but 5,000. And here's the miracle. See, the miracle didn't start with 5,000. The miracle started with the little boy. See, the miracle started with a little boy. See, that morning, the little boy got up and he made what? Lunch. And he willingly gave it away. Did he ever expect to receive anything in return? No. He willingly gave it away. His lunch. You see, when he gave away his lunch, he never expected to receive in return what? Bushels and bushels and bushels and more bushels to take back home. So why do I even bring that up to you today? Do you trust God with everything that you are? Really? I mean, are you willing to trust Him with everything that you have? See, if you're willing to trust Him with your families and with your marriages, you'll get bushels back.
Amen.
Oh, you'll get bushels back. But some of us just haven't reached that point yet. We trust Him with some things. We trust Him with this or that, but we don't trust Him with everything. We don't trust Him with everything. We trust Him with some things, but not everything. And the little boy started that miracle by willingly giving up what?
Everything
he had for everything that day. And the Lord blessed them abundantly. And so when it comes to life, when it comes to families, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships, you got to understand that you invest in it. You give Him everything that you are, the Lord will give you back what? Bushels full. Bushels full. And I bring that up to you to let you know that some of the things I might have been teaching, you might say, boy, I can do that, but I can't do that. Or I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. That's like the little boy saying, here you can have the bread, but you ain't getting the fish. Same thing. Either you're in, or you're what? Out. How many agree with that statement? You're in or you're out. Trust God with everything that you have and everything that you are, and what will you get in return? Bushels full of blessings. We've been talking today about the family, and we've been talking about husbands. We talked about wives. We're going to continue now to talk about the role of the father, and then we're going to talk about the role of the mother. Now, I know that some of you might say, I'm not a ma, I'm not a dad. Well, that's true. That's true. Maybe some of you will be mothers and fathers at some point. And maybe you have said, I've done that before. I've been a mother and dad. Now I'm not. Well, you're still the grandmother and the grandfather then, right? And so we do have people coming up behind us. How many have people coming up behind you? You got people coming up behind you. And the roles of the mothers and fathers are to raise their children so that they become what? Good mothers and fathers. And that's why we spend time with this. We were talking about the roles of the fathers, and I told you one of the very first roles of the fathers was to provide for their families. Provide for their families. And we know in Scripture, and for some people, this sounds really harsh. It says in Scripture, if you do not work, you do not eat. That sounds harsh. Doesn't that sound harsh? You know, if a church adapted that philosophy, we say, hey, Scripture clearly said that you don't work, you don't eat. Does that sound harsh to anybody? If an able-bodied man came into the church and he said, hey, you know what, I need to feed my family. And you say, where do you work? He said, well, I don't. Would it be biblical for us to say, hey, go get a job? Yep. Yep. If a man does not work, he does not what? He doesn't eat. Because we as men are supposed to do what? Provide. I'm sure that most men, probably at some point in their lives, would say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. That doesn't change the rule. God says you are to what? Provide. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And so we know that men are to provide. That's the first thing that they are to do. We know that the second thing that they are not to do was to bring their children to what? Wrath. Don't get on their cases for every little thing. Don't put goals in front of them they'll never be able to achieve. Guess what? Your kids will not always get straight A's in school. You know why? Because the apple does not fall far from the tree. That's it's in the genes. How many of you in this room, how many in this room got straight A's every single day through your whole school career? Who got straight A's? That's what I thought. Nobody. Sue. There's always got to be one. What's that? You had a B once, then you didn't get straight A's then. So how many of you are getting straight A's in life? Who's getting straight A's in life? Not too many, right? And so don't put goals on your kids that they can't achieve. Come on, is it good to have goals for your kids? Well, of course, but don't make them unrealistic goals. You know, don't give them expectations that really, you don't need to have such a high expectation, you know, that your kid's going to be an NBA basketball player when he's only 5'1" and ain't going to work out. It's not going to work out. And my pitching career is probably over now. I have the rotator cuff surgery, so I won't be throwing 100 miles an hour anymore. I can't prove to you I can because my shoulder hurts, so I can't. Third thing that fathers are to do. First is provide. Second one is, you know, don't bring your kids up in wrathfulness. Don't do that. The third thing is spiritual training. And yes, it is the father's responsibility. I'm not saying mothers shouldn't do it. You'll see this in a minute. But I'm saying not instead of what? The father. The father's role is spiritual training. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78, verses 4 through 6.
We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded for our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children.
Our responsibility as fathers is to tell our children about God. Our responsibility as fathers is not only to teach them what God has done to the forefathers of Israel, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, but to tell them what they have done where? In us. That's our job. Our job as fathers is to show our children what God has done through us. How many fathers in the room know God has done a mighty work in you? And our job is to what? Ed, teach them. Teach them. Two ways of teaching them. Telling them and showing them. That's our job. Our job is to take our children and teach them. Yes, teach them about all of the patriarchs of our faith. That is true. But you also should be able to teach them what God has done what? In you. That's our job. And the mother cannot tell them what God has done in you. You have to do that. That's why it's called a personal what? Testimony. Personal testimony. If you don't have a test, then you only got a testimony. Then you only speak in words. How many have been tested already? Who's had trials or tribulations in men in this room? Our job is to what? Tell them. Tell them. That's our job. Don't hand that off. Joshua. Turn to Joshua. 24. Verses 14 to 15. Many of you will know this passage of Scripture. I'm reasonably confident. You may not have known where it is, but you will certainly know it now. Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15.
Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord.
I've heard that passage of Scripture before. So here's the way it works. The father needs to get the message and the word in his heart first. In his heart first. I was having a discussion on Tuesday night with some of the folks who attend the Sons of God Motorcycle Club, and we're having our Bible study there, and they were spending a lot of time talking about Scripture memorization. And I raised my hand and said, I don't agree with you. And they looked at me like, well, you like a deer in headlights. But what I mean by that is this. I can stand in a garage all day long, and that does not make me a car. I can quote the Quran, and that does not make me Muslim. I can quote from a couple of different holy books, and it does not make me Hindu. And I can quote from the Bible, and that does not make me a what? A Christian. How many believe that statement? Is it important to memorize some Scripture? Well, sure it is. Well, sure it is. But memorizing it is not as important as living it. Most of you, if not all of you, have memorized the Lord's Prayer. And I'll bet you nobody prays it. We only what? Recite it. How many would be willing to say that's true? It's true. We don't pray it. We just what? Say it. We say it. We have memorized a lot of things in our lives. Some good, some bad. But the Father, not the Father, the Father, needs to get God's Word where? Yeah. Glenn? In here. In here. So that we are able to teach our children what God has done through us and in us and with us. How many agree with that statement? That's the job. And once we have God's Word in our hearts, not that you're able to sit down and quote Scriptures and 66 books of the Bible in order. And do you really need to be able to do that? I don't think so. You need to be able to live it. Don't you think that's better? Because some men will say to me, well, I can't remember all that Scripture. I can't do John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also be. And you know where I am going in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because you don't need to be able to do that. What you need to be able to do is show your children what God has done in your life. How many agree with that statement? You need to be able to pull a chair up and sit down with your son and say, listen, what God did for me, God can do for you. How many agree with that statement? That's our job. And once we have God in our heart, then and only then will you be able to teach your family as Joshua taught his. Hey, listen, you have a lot of opportunities and options here. Because you clearly do. You clearly do. You can worship any god you want to in 2013. And there are many from which to choose. Many. You can choose to worship any of the gods that you desire. You can. You can even worship the gods of the sports teams. You can go, you can do anything you want, but understand this. As long as you are in this house for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. How many men agree with that statement? That's your role. Fathers, you don't get to hand that off. That's your job. That's your job. After we have trained our children in spiritual matters, and then we have to do the loving discipline part. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 10.
Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness.
All right. Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. Anybody ever heard of Dr. James Dobson? This is the way he described the role of the father as far as discipline. Pretty good example. He said, punishment is something you do to a child. And discipline is something you do for a child. That's a lot of difference, isn't it? Punishment is something you what do to the child. Discipline is something you do for the child. Now, in this arena, I'll tell you, because I do a lot of counseling, this is the area that gets a little shaky between husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. Mothers really don't like anybody disciplining their child. It's a tricky situation. How many mothers agree with that? It's tricky. It's tricky. Because a mother will go into protection mode. That's what she will do. She will go into protection mode. But if the father is a loving, godly father, he should know how to discipline his children. And, you know, screaming at them is probably not the way to do it. But it is the father's role to provide discipline for his child. Now, I'm certainly, you know, I told you one of the roles of the pastor is never ask questions you don't know answers to because you could get stuck. And I'm going to break my own rule because I could get stuck here in a minute. How many of you know it's pretty easy to get over on your mother sometimes? How many say it's easy to get over on the ma? It's easy to get over on the ma. But it's not so tricky getting over on him sometimes. How many say it's harder to get over on the dad than the mother? It's you know, the mother. All right. Now, when you were growing up, big kids, I'm talking about the adults here. How many knew how to play your mom and dad? Who knew how to play them? Who knew how to turn one against the other? Who could do that? Mark! Is she sitting here? Oh, she's across over there, though, huh? It's Scripture says, what human father would not discipline his child? Doesn't it say that? What human father would not discipline his child? For if the father does not discipline his child, the child is illegitimate. What's that mean? What does that mean? And not in the way that you're thinking. Because it says, what father will not? If the father does not discipline his own child, the child is illegitimate. What that means is the child does not belong to him. Think that through. The child doesn't belong to him. Because he doesn't take the time to invest in discipline. Now, how many of you were disciplined when you were growing up? My mother had a black belt and wooden spoon.
Oh my gosh.
She did, says he. That and curtain rods. That's why I got a black belt today, protecting myself. But how many are better off because you were disciplined? How many know without discipline in your lives, who know where you would be today? True? That's our job. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 12, where you just were. We're going to read verse 11.
No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Mm.
How many of you, and I got to ask, how many of you knew the look of the Father? When the Father looked at you in a certain way, how many of you knew right after that look something was coming? How many remember the look? How many remember the look from the mother? We had the look, right? But you know why the look worked? It's because you knew that right after the look, something else was coming, right? And so no discipline seems beneficial at the time. None. That's kind of like the little boy that came home from Sunday school and said to his mother, you know, you can't punish me anymore and you have to buy me a bike. And the mother said, well, where'd you learn that from? My Sunday school teacher told it to me. Your Sunday school teacher told you that I can't punish you anymore and I got to buy you a bike? Well, yeah, she told me. You got to spare the rod and spoil the child. So you have to, don't beat me no more, and you got to spoil me. That's not what that says. The fact is, turn in your Bibles, please. Proverbs 13:24.
He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him.
Wow. Wow. You know, fathers, when you leave that up to the moms, and you don't invest your time, and you wash your hands of it, you say, I'm not going to get involved in it, let her do it. That passage of Scripture clearly says, right, he who spares the rod, what? Hates his child. Hates his child. Now listen, we all want to have children that say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. We all want those children. That's what we want. We want those children that you never have to tell them to take the garbage out more than once and it's already out on the curb, tied up, neatly put into. That's what we want. We want our children to make beds. We want our children to be the kind of children that came from heaven. And your parents wanted them too. I'm sure your parents wanted those kind of kids too. How many know your parents didn't get those kind of kids? You were perfect?
Not even close.
Not even close. We don't want kids like that. But guess what? That's not how, we don't get kids like that. We get kids like us. Unfortunately. What's that?
Little sinners.
Sissy said little sinners. It's true. And it's the job of the fathers to raise those kids. Now, we know we live in a society when fatherhood doesn't mean fatherhood. And we have a child, so I will not say what it is I would like to say. But what we have in this world is less fathers and more males. How many understand what I'm saying? We don't have fathers, we have males. And males go from person to person to person to person to person to person, right? In fact, there was a football player they were just talking about. I don't remember his name. Not important. A football player that his two-year-old, unfortunately, was a two-year-old or maybe less than that. Young baby was killed by a boyfriend. And that's horrible. Then you find out the guy's got kids he doesn't even know. Professional athletes, they have these kids with everybody. They don't even know who they are. That's not a father. That's a donor. How many understand that? And in our society today in 2013, where's the fathers? They're not around. So what's happening to the kids? They're running wild. They're running wild. I'll tell you the truth. Listen to me. You know, there's something about a mother disciplining her child, a son. But there's something different when a father disciplining a son too. How many understand the difference? When a father disciplines his son, especially when the son is older, how many ever had the big buck syndrome growing up? When it came time, the son said, "Hey, it's all about me." How many ever had that experience? All the men who had that experience, stand up. If you ever had that experience, stand up. When you had the son say, "Hey, I'm in charge." How many fathers in this room ever had a dialogue that with somebody? So the father's role is to, you know, it's just to be the deciding factor when the chaos starts. How many understand that? Is it pretty?
No.
No. Necessary?
No.
Yes.
Wait till your dad gets
home. Oh, wait till your dad gets home. Okay. And so we've kind of talked about the fathers. What are the father's roles in the family? Provide. Do not chasten the children. Bring them up. Spiritual household. And discipline. Now we move to the mothers. What's the mother's roles in the family? Now I won't be able to get through all of it, but we'll at least start. We'll start. Okay, the roles of the mother. The roles of the mother. Titus. Chapter 2, verse 4.
Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children.
Well, mothers, first of all, we will talk about the more mature mothers. Those who have raised their children. How many have raised your children already? Your jobs are to admonish, instruct, teach, train younger women how to what? Love their husbands and love their children. That's your job. That's your job. Again, back to the roles, to the roles of the church. R-O-L-E-S. R-O-L-E-S. Men and women have different roles in the church. Biblical. How many understand that? Biblical, handed down. Not that one person, male or female's roles are different, or I mean, not different, but more important than another's. It's not the way it is. We all have important roles. How many understand that? We all have important roles. That's what we do. The roles of the woman is to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children. I cannot teach a woman how to do that. I can't. I can't do it. And that's why when women call me for marriage counseling, guess what I do? Hand them off. To who?
Sissy.
Now, I might meet with somebody like one time because they asked to speak to me. And I, don't I, Sissy? I hand them off. Not because I don't have the time, not because I don't think they're important. It's because I can't do it. I can't do that. I can understand intellectually. I can teach you some skills. But who's the one that needs to do it? The woman needs to do it. How many agree with that statement? That's the way it works. Now, women, you cannot teach a woman how to love your husband if you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't teach it. You can't teach it if you can't do it. Now, I will tell you that I have sat down in the presence of women and men, and the woman has bashed her husband up and down and around the back and cut him down to little pieces. I said, "Oh my gosh, really? That's what you think of him?" And not only is that what you think of him, but that's what you're willing to tell others about him. Let that sink in, women. Not only is that what you think, but that's what you expound. That's what you go tell everyone else about your husband. Really? Is that biblical? No. How many of you in this room know you have not married a perfect man? She's not raising her hand, is she? Is she raising her hand? She raised both of them, did she? Okay, so, other than Sissy, of course, but how many else? Oh, how many have not married a perfect husband? There's no such thing. Who's married a perfect wife? There's no such thing. But the reality of it is, there's no wife here that has a perfect husband. And there's certainly no mother here that has perfect children. Is there? Really? You don't need to go and talk to another woman about how imperfect your husband is. Do you? Doesn't the world know that? Seriously, come on. You need to lift them up, not put them down. The world already puts them down. What you need to do is what? Lift them up. Help them be a man, right? And so the job of the woman is to train the other women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. How do you do that? Well, I can't tell you now because I got to go. And I won't. You got to come back. I'm sorry. You got to come back. And we'll pick this up in a couple weeks, okay? Because I'll be having surgery, so we won't be doing this next week. But it's important because women are communicative. Women like to what? Talk. A lot. Who said that? You're right, Robin. You're always right. You're the queen of everything. Women love to talk. And they love to talk about who? Their families. How many of you know that the tongue is a two-edged sword? Cuts you deep. Cuts you deep. I'll tell you in my own personal experience, I told you that when Sissy says I do something right, I'm on top of the world. But when she tells me I did something wrong, and she does. And she does. No, she does. Boy, shoo. I'm serious. How many men understand that? I'm serious. And when I'm driving home with her, if I said something wrong, she'll tell me. That's her job. She'll tell me. Won't you tell me? Yeah. I do ask you. How am I doing today? Okay, good. So women, love your husbands. I love your children. We'll talk more about that in a couple weeks. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. As we clearly understood that what we have to do is we have to invest ourselves. We have to invest. We have to invest ourselves into our marriages, invest ourselves in our relationships, invest ourselves in our families. We need to invest ourselves so that the return that we receive will be heavenly. Lord, we can certainly take these things we've learned today and say, well, some I'll do, some I won't. Well, then you're partway in, I guess. Either we're in or we're out. In or out. Fathers clearly understand what your roles are, and as we move to the mother's roles, they'll clearly understand what their roles are, and I guess we have to choose. We choose then. Do we want to obey the role? R-U-L-E-S and be the role, R-O-L-E-S, that you've made us to be. Or, you know, we can be like everybody else we see on TVs and in the movies. We can be Desperate Housewives and all that kinds of goofiness that's all over TV. Lord, we can be all those things too, I guess, I suppose. For Lord, I don't know. I don't know. I guess for Sissy and I hope for others, we're going to worship the Lord. And all of God's people said.